God is good to us.
Amen.
Titus chapter 2. I feel very inadequate, I always do, but I feel like most of my messages are like very plain, but hopefully I'll give you something to help you this evening in your walk. That's my desire. I figure if it helped me, it might help you, and it helped me studying it, so hopefully the Lord will help me give it to you. Amen. Titus chapter 2, and let's begin reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Lord, thank you just for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Thank you for the worship we've had. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Thank you for friends. God, thank you for family. Thank you for church family. God, thank you for the pastor giving me an opportunity in the church, allowing me to preach this evening. God, I pray that you'll help me, that I would honor you tonight, would be my desire. So please, Holy Spirit, we just ask your presence and your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. And in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, a very familiar passage, I won't turn you there, but it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there is no works in our salvation. What I mean is, if there were, we could brag or we could boast. We were slaves to sin. We were helpless and hopeless without Christ. Without God, the Bible says, in the world. And if Christ saves you, it's by grace. According to the Bible, you weren't even looking for God. The Bible says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And you might be here tonight and say, well, I can remember when I started searching for God. And I tell you, believe me, he initiated that. If you can look back and remember a time when you started searching for God, it's because he initiated that. Because outside of God, you would never search for God. Without the influence and the drawing of the Holy Ghost, there's none that seeketh after God. A man's heart must be plowed and broken up. And it must be what Jesus called good ground. In Luke, he called it honest ground. One old preacher said God plowed his heart with the cross and it was hooked to a team of 10 black horses. Brother Hollis probably could tell me who said that. But what he meant was the cross was pulled by the law. The Ten Commandments was those 10 black horses and plowed his heart up. And there has to be some law work before there's salvation. One old Puritan writer, and I can't remember the name, I looked for it this morning, but he said, I love this quote, he said, the silver needle of the law makes room for the scarlet thread of redemption.
Amen. That's right.
The silver needle of the law. Without the preaching of the law, the gospel is an idle tale. In other words, it means nothing. Men do not desire the cure until they understand that they're sick.
Amen.
And men do not seek a pardon until God shows them they're guilty. If a man would walk in that back door tonight and say, "Hey, here you go, Sean, I got your pardon," I'd just look at it. I'd say, "I don't need a pardon. What did I do? I don't need a pardon." But if I had broken the law, let's say I'd went through this school zone down here in Poca, 80 mile an hour, and broken the law, and they knew it was me, and they were going to throw me under the jail, and rightfully so, and the guy come in and said, "Hey, I've got your pardon," I would step down and say, "Boy, I'm glad to see that." But until you get convicted that you need a pardon, you'll have no interest in it. And that's why a lot of people, listen, we got a lot of people who don't even understand why they need a pardon and are being talked into receiving a pardon. The grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God brings salvation. Let me ask you this evening, have you experienced the grace of God?
Amen.
Have you experienced the grace of God? The old hymn writer said it this way. He said, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldest die for me?"
Amen.
Have you ever felt that? Listen. Have you ever seen yourself enslaved in sin? Have you ever saw that you were in the chains of sin? I think it was Squire Carson sung that song, He Came to Me. When I was in the chains of my sin. I'm not talking about something you don't know about. I just hope you've experienced it. Have you felt the forgiveness of sins? Have you felt the forgiveness of sins? You say, "Well, you're talking a lot about feelings." Yeah, I know it. But let me say this again. If I broke the law down here and I got a letter at the house that said, "Appear at, Putman County? Appear at the Putman County Courthouse on such and such a date. You have broken the law." Believe me, I'd have some feelings. And you would too. I don't want to emphasize feelings unduly, but I will say this. There's feelings in condemnation. And there's feelings in forgiveness. And I know what it's like to be forgiven. Do you know what it's like?
Amen.
Grace taught my heart to fear.
Yes.
Fear, isn't that a feeling?
Yes, sir.
Thought it was. And grace, my fears relieved. Have you experienced the grace of God this evening? It's amazing grace, isn't it? But more than that, tonight I want to talk about teaching grace. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Teaching us. I want to say this evening that saving grace is also teaching grace. Saving grace is also teaching grace. And a lot of folks today would like to be saved, but they don't want to be taught.
Amen.
But first, I want us to look at the grace of God brought salvation. The grace of God brought salvation. The Bible says that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. The psalmist said, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Psalm 116, verse 8. Salvation is deliverance. He came to save His people, the Bible says, from their sins. He came to save them from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. And one day, from the presence of sin.
Amen.
Redeemed. Redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Grace brought salvation to purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He gave Himself for us to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. And when we think of peculiar today, we think something crazy. But that's really not what that word means here in this context. It means He owns us. It means His own people. We're peculiar to Him. Exclusive property is what the Webster's 1828 dictionary described it as. Exclusive property which belongs to a person in exclusion of others. In other words, I'm His and His alone. Peculiar. In other words, if you're saved, you belong to Jesus Christ. He purchased you. He bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In heaven, the Bible says they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth."
Amen.
I can't wait to hear that new song. I believe that. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. That's not bad doctrine for a little blind Methodist lady.
No, right.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know in the light of His presence with Him I'll continually dwell. Redeemed. Are you redeemed?
Yes, sir.
Do you know Him tonight? Have you ever sung that song I just quoted? I figure you have. Did you do more than just sing it? Do you know about it? He came to purify in Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Number two, the grace of God teaches us. I've only got 3 points, so you won't be too late. Don't worry. My wife said not to say that, but I already did. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God teaches us. It's a teaching grace, amen. It's not only a saving grace, it's a teaching grace. It's a grace for every day. He teaches us to deny ungodliness. And that means to reject or refuse. I looked up that word, deny, in the Bible Concordance. You know what it means? Deny. Sometimes I try to get smarter than what I am. It just means deny. It means if you see something ungodly, deny it. When you see something ungodly, reject it. When you see something ungodly, get away from it. The Bible says about Job that he eschewed evil. Did it not? His grace is teaching us that. I was reading an article not long ago. This college professor had written an article, and he said he taught a class, I believe it was the University of Wisconsin. It wasn't a small school. It was a pretty good-sized school. And he taught a class, and he mentioned the Sermon on the Mount to this class full of students, and not a one of them had ever heard of it in a public university. And then that so aroused his curiosity that he said, well, how many of you guys have been to church? And he said, probably almost half raised their hands and still said they'd never heard of the Sermon on the Mount. I say all that to say this is we've got a couple generations of people who probably don't know what right and wrong is.
Amen.
And how do you know what is ungodly? I tell you how you know. It's from the Word of God. How do you know if something's right or wrong? You find out from the Word of God. Hold your place there, Titus, and look at Psalm 119, if you would, please. Psalm 119. Verse 99. Psalm 119, verse 99. When I read that, I thought of this verse. Psalm 119, verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Hey, listen, if a 6-year-old child understands that the Bible is where you get right and wrong from, she knows more or he knows more than a college professor that doesn't know that. Did you get what I said? If a little 6-year-old kid over here in the Sunday school class understands that you find out right and wrong from the Bible, he or she knows more than the college professor at the college who doesn't know that. How are you going to eschew evil if you don't know what evil is? How are you going to deny ungodliness if you don't know what ungodliness is? Skip on down a couple of verses to 101. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Skip down again to 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Look some more. Look at 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Look at verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. My, that's a good prayer. Lord, don't let any iniquity have dominion. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about dominion over you. I'm talking about something getting in your life and ruining your life. I mean, I don't know. My heart is broken personally. I've known someone who's gotten entangled in sin. And I'm telling you, you're one click away from pornography.
Yeah.
One sin away. I mean, one click away from looking at something that you have no business looking at. And if you get entangled in that, and if you get dominated by that sin, you're in bad trouble. I'm just saying we better be praying that way. God, don't let me be overtaken in something like that. We walk through this life, and really we're not too circumspect, I think, sometimes. You can get in a real mess, folks. You just talk to that little girl down work too much and flirt with her too much, and you'll be in trouble. You just let your mind wander too much, and you'll be in trouble. You just look at this and look at that and think, boy, if I could get that, if I would just take something that doesn't belong to me, and you just ponder on that long enough, and you'll be in trouble. I'm just telling you, but it's we need to be careful, don't we?
Amen.
That's why we need the grace of God that teaches us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We need the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness through the Word of God. How is she going to get help except through the Word of God? His grace gives us new life, and He gives us a new appetite for the Word of God. Not only that, when you get saved, you have a new appetite for the Word of God. It's a weird thing. When I say weird, that's not a good word. But it's a strange thing that the things I used to love, I now hate. And the things I used to hate, nothing aggravate me more than turn the radio on and some preacher be preaching. I didn't want to hear that. I'd be trying to turn that station so fast. Get that preacher off there, no matter what. You know, I don't care what it is, anything but that. Farm report.
Yeah.
I'm pushing buttons. That was back in the 70s. Y'all don't... They used to have radio. You could push that button all the way over on the right, and this little red thing had screwed all the way over. Or you could pop in an 8-track. The things I used to love, I now don't care much about. And the things I used to hate, I love. I love being with y'all. I love being with God's people. I don't want to be at a beer joint or a bar or heavy metal rock concert. I want to be in the house of God with God's people. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. He gives us a new appetite for the people of God and the things of God and the Word of God. And if you have an appetite for the Word of God and you take it in, I promise you His grace will teach you. He'll teach you. It's a teaching grace. But if you don't eat, you won't grow. Isn't that true?
Yeah. You're right.
You have to eat the Word of God. Spiritually, you have to take in the Word of God if you're going to grow. The grace, it's saving grace, but it's also teaching grace. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And I don't have time to run the list, but if this book says it's wrong, we just need to reject it. Amen?
Amen.
The grace of God teaches us that. And I just want to ask you tonight, is the grace of God teaching you? Is the grace of God teaching you? Or are you just living like you want to? Notice our text in Titus chapter 2. It says, the grace of God teaches us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now that word soberly, we think of sober, we think of the opposite of drunk, don't we? But that's really not what that word, that's a good word. We ought to be sober. Amen. I tell you right now, folks, Alcohol does a lot of damage. I can tell you how to never become an alcoholic. Never take first drink.
Amen.
Amen. I've been in drunkards' homes. I've been in children's homes where the dad was a drunkard and drank up all their living. And I remember my wife and I were out making a visit one time for the church, and we went in this man's house, and I don't want to disgust you, but it was bad. And he would take a drink of beer, and he had a trash can there, and then he would vomit it up a little bit because his stomach was so ate up. And he told me, he said, he was shaking, you know how they are. And he said, this couch here, I wouldn't have it. He said, my sister bought it for me. He said, and the last furniture she bought me, I sold it so I could have something to drink. He said, she said she wasn't going to buy me no more after this. I asked him, I went there, Brother Jeff, and a couple weeks later I went back. And he said, I haven't ate in days. And he went, took me over to the kitchen, and he could not take a can opener and open a can of beans. And I opened a can of beans and fixed it for him. I'm just trying to tell you, sin will destroy you, folks. It'll destroy you. It'll snuff you out. And nobody plans on that. Nobody plans on that. Nobody thinks when they take that first drug that they're going to be a drug addict. Nobody thinks when they take that first drink that they're going to be an alcoholic. I'm telling you, sin, the devil is a deceiver.
Amen.
He's a destroyer. And we ought to live soberly. Amen. But that really, that means temperate or discreet. Discreet. In other words, we ought to have some wisdom about the way we behave. The grace of God teaches that. And then it says, in this present world. In other words, while we're living on this earth, folks. While we're living on this earth. Now listen, I know I'm not going to take too much time. But let me just ask you this. Have you grown any in your spiritual life? Have you grown any in your spiritual life? See, sometimes when you've been saved a while, you forget that some people haven't been saved very long.
Yeah, you're right there. Right.
And you look at them and you think, man, alive, they're a wreck. And really, you're probably the wreck.
Yeah.
You're probably like those people in Laodicea. You're blind and naked and think you're hungry, or think you're filled and clothed. I'm just saying, though, listen, there ought to be growth in your spiritual life, folks. That ought to be some growth in your spiritual life. As you grow in the Lord and He's teaching you, you'll be stronger in the Lord. And what I'm trying to get to is, as you listen to me preach this evening, as you listen to the pastor preach every Sunday or every whenever you're here, Sunday night or Wednesday, and you hear him preaching, is it just water off a duck's back? Or is the Holy Ghost applying that to your life and teaching you something? The same grace that saves teaches. Listen to this statement. I'm going to make this statement. I want you to listen to it very carefully. And I believe this. If you do not have teaching grace, you have no reason to believe you have saving grace. If the Holy Ghost is not teaching you something through the Word of God, then you have no reason to think you have saving grace. I'm telling you, the minute you get saved, he starts working. And he performs it until the day of Jesus Christ. He just keeps right on working. He's not like me. I quit after a while. I'll give up on you. He just keeps right on working.
Amen.
Then number three, the grace of God teaches us that while we're learning, we need to be looking. While we're learning, we need to be looking. Grace teaches us how to live and it teaches us how to keep looking. The Bible says here, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Like the gentleman sung about tonight, He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And we need to be looking for Him. The Bible says that Abraham was looking for a city. In other words, he wasn't looking for a physical city on this earth necessarily. He was looking for a heavenly city. Whose builder, the Bible says, and maker is God. That's not a man-made city, is it? That's not a man-made city. I don't care too much for man-made cities, tell you the truth. Do you? I remember one night, my wife has had a lot of heart problems, and I had to take her to the medical college in Virginia, in Richmond. I got off work one night about 4 o'clock and had to drive to Richmond. She was there. And I got off the wrong exit and landed in the worst part of town at 1 a.m. in the morning in Richmond, Virginia. And I had something in the car and I laid it on the seat beside of me as I drove through town. Shit, it wasn't the Bible. But I'm just saying, cities is not where it's at. Amen. They can have the cities. But I'm not looking for that. Are you? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little weary of this place. I get a little homesick for somewhere else. Especially when I hear all the politics and the news and all the stuff that's going on around us. It makes me long more for home. See, because this is not my home. This is not my home. Are you looking for His return this evening? Are you looking for His return? I am. Are you ready for His return? That's the most important, isn't it? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not ready. You need to trust Him right now. Trust Him right now. Ask Him to save you right now. Hey, He's a wonderful Savior. The grace of God brings salvation. The grace of God teaches us how to live. And the grace of God teaches us to look for His return. Pastor, if it'd be all right, I wanted to have the church sing a Him. And I don't need any music, I don't think. I hope you know the song. It's called Hallelujah, What a Savior. Page 283, I believe. Yes, 283.